I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. And now, our top stories. Amateurs were at the ready as Hurricane Irma tore across the Caribbean and slammed into Florida last weekend. According to West Central Florida Section Manager Daryl Davis, KT4WX, the storm's eye passed over the Hardy County Emergency Operations Center just before midnight on September 10th. The storm, which left death and destruction in its wake, eventually moved inland, carrying with it heavy rainfall and causing additional flooding. As of midweek, FEMA flagged most of the Florida peninsula for significant river flooding imminent or occurring. Irma also left many in Florida without electrical power. A regional sky warn net activated in the West Central Florida section to gather severe weather reports and Florida's statewide amateur radio network ran a coordination and assistance net to help communication between the county and state emergency operations centers and to provide assistance to amateur radio operators in other ways. The priority was tactical shelter communication, emergency operations center communication, and sky warn nets. At one point, Pasco County put out a call for amateur radio support, seeking 20 volunteers with their own equipment. The Hurricane Watch Net stood down on September 11th after more than 6 days of activation for Irma, as well as for Hurricanes Jose and Katia. At midweek, the net was keeping an eye on Hurricane Jose, a Category 1 storm. The VOIP Hurricane Net activated over the weekend to track the impact of Irma as well as of Hurricane Katia, which made landfall on the coast of southeastern Mexico. The activation continued until September 11th. A listing of reports received from amateur radio operators on the VOIP Hurricane Net, weather stations monitored across the region, and relayed reports from social media are on the VOIP Hurricane Net viewer. Puerto Rico fared better than had been expected. Puerto Rico Section Public Information Coordinator Angel Santana, WP3GW, reported downed trees, but electrical power was back on by September 11th. More than 350 Puerto Rican residents took advantage of Red Cross shelters, and about 150 evacuated to shelters in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Santana said the Friendly Net and Caribbean Emergency Weather Net were fairly active, too.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm speaking with Mike Corey, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, KI1U. Mike, can you give us an update on what's going on with Hurricane Irma?
Sure. Obviously, Hurricane Irma has passed, but has left quite a wake of destruction throughout the Caribbean, South Florida, and really up through the southeast United States. Amateurs in the Virgin Islands have been working with VTEMA, the Virgin Islands Territorial Emergency Management Agency, as well as Red Cross, and a lot of federal resources that are on the ground there in assisting with communications in the islands, particularly in St. Thomas and St. John, where the infrastructure was hardest hit. Puerto Rico fared fairly well. Amateurs there worked with Red Cross officials providing communications, particularly to the island of Culebra. And in South Florida, for the most part, Florida had fared fairly well as far as from a communication standpoint. However, the Keys are the greatest concern right now. As most infrastructure is damaged or destroyed, communications have been lost. And now through the work of Florida Aries with state emergency management, they're working to get volunteers in there to help get them back online.
So in throughout the whole area, amateurs are actually providing communication support.
Oh, indeed. In fact, in the Virgin Islands, they've described it as very much life-saving communications. It's very their focus right now is very localized, so that's why we're not hearing as much of the long-haul health and welfare traffic that most would be expecting at this time. They're getting the situation stabilized there. Of course, we're waiting to see what transpires with the Keys. And for the most part, the event and Harvey was the same way. The communications infrastructure on the mainland and in the major metro areas, you know, it's been hardened considerably since Katrina and Ike and Sandy. So the communications systems, for the most part, were left unaffected. They were definitely taxed to a great degree. But most of the amateur radio involvement has been in supporting ground truth reports into the National Weather Service, National Hurricane Center, and also in supporting shelter operations throughout the affected area.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mike.
The National Emergency Net of the Federación Mexicana de Radio Experimentadores, Mexico's National Amateur Radio Association, activated on 7.060 MHz to handle emergency traffic after a late evening earthquake occurred off Mexico's coast on September 7th. The potent magnitude 8.2 earthquake off Mexico's Pacific coast, the strongest in 100 years, resulted in multiple fatalities. The tremor was felt around Central America. At 0500 UTC, Jose Arturo Molina, YS1MS, reported feeling a strong tremor within a few minutes of the earthquake in Chiapas, which is near Mexico's border with Guatemala. In Honduras, Antonio Handel, HR2DX, located on the north coast, also reported feeling the quake. A state of emergency continues in southern Mexico, and new aftershocks occurred this week, raising the possibility that the National Emergency Net could activate on 7.060 and 14.120 megahertz. The Amateur Radio Club at Yale University was the host for the second annual Collegiate Amateur Radio Initiative Forum at the ARRL New England Division Convention, September 8th through 10th in Boxborough, Massachusetts. ARRL CEO Tom Gallagher, NY2RF, who, in the light of the increasing number of reactivated and newly formed radio clubs at colleges and universities, has been a prime mover behind the league initiative, opened the session. Four presentations by participating institutions followed. The forum concluded with a roundtable discussion about the state of college amateur radio, moderated by W1YU President Scott Matheson, N3NFP, who earned his amateur extra class ticket at the convention. Participants shared challenges and ideas regarding what works and what doesn't when rebuilding a collegiate club.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
The AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual Meeting is not far off. October 27th through the 29th is right around the corner. Registration is $50 now and $55 at the door. This includes entrance to all the presentations and displays and a copy of the proceedings. There is a Saturday evening banquet and Sunday morning area coordinator's breakfast. Really a great weekend of satellite-related stuff. This year it is being held in Reno, Nevada at the Silver Legacy Hotel. For more information, visit amsat.org, click on Events, and then Symposium. The keynote speaker at the banquet this year will be Garrett Scrobot, Senior Mission Manager of the Educational Launch and Nanosatellites Program, or ELANA, at NASA headquarters. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the Audio News Propagation Report for Friday, September 15th. The sunspots that produced the powerful solar flares last week have slipped around the edge of the solar disk and out of view. All that remains now is a single sunspot that forecasters say does not have the potential to produce flares, at least for now. Although there are no solar flares in the forecast to disrupt the HF bands, our planet is still being buffeted by particles from a coronal hole in the sun's northern hemisphere. With a solar flux in the 70s, your best bet for good propagation will be 80 and 40 meters, with a fair chance of good conditions extending to 20 meters. On VHF and UHF, unsettled weather along the northern tier of the United States may generate some band openings here and there, and chances are good that some tropoducting may occur as the remnants of Hurricane Irma move north and east.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.